Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Sorry. I'm just trying to think of how to do this. Okay.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We've got some hot thoughts about kitchen utensils. Sorry. Let's try that again. All right. All right. I'm a professional. Got it. Right.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We've got some hot thoughts involving kitchen utensils. I almost held it together. All right. I got this.
All right. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We've got some hot thoughts involving kitchen utensils.
Which way to the exit again? Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Jim.
Basement at full capacity again?
Yeah, basement at full capacity, but you don't look so good, man. You look a little peaked. Are you all right?
I'll be all right. I'll be right.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're drinking tea right now.
Do you have a bathroom nearby? No.
Nah, just go anyway. It's fine. You've been here before.
So, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs from the basement. And Patrick, introduce our guest today.
Hello, Nate Scott. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm excited.
Thank you for being down in this basement.
It's fantastic.
It's different than Jim's basement. It's a lot smaller. But also, Jim, Nate is an old friend of ours.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We've known Nate from that other thing.
The other thing we did before. Right. And he was on the old show. And we worked together.
We did.
He's no longer at the old employer either.
Nope.
Do you want to say where you work now? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. I'm at Fox Sports, covering soccer and a few other things.
Nice. That's very cool.
But very my nice. First love is music.
Yes. And we basically, that's all we talked about. Maybe I mentioned Norwich City once, Jim, but for the most part, we talked about music. And I remember a great day when they came in and it was a I was so excited. I was a month early on the best songs of the year so far. You know, you do that after 6 months. But I said, Nate, let's do it. But only 5 months had gone by. But it was still really good.
I still ran it.
I know. It was still great.
It was genius, it was I thought.
We were after five months. Ahead of everybody, yeah. Ahead of everybody.
That's good stuff. So we're going to have Nate Scott Week.
That's going to be great.
All right. Thanks, Nate.
I'm psyched to be here.
This is awesome. So Nate actually... He reached out to me about a week ago or so and said that he had this burning desire to talk about Spoon.
Okay.
So why don't we start with that for this episode?
Fantastic. Yeah, I don't get to write about music anymore, so you guys are now my outlet. I'm just going to show up in Patrick's basement and start talking about stuff.
I can supply you with as many beers as you need when you get down here.
Fantastic. All right. So Spoon has a new record out. It's called Hot Thoughts. It's out on Matador, and they're home for a long time now. They kind of went away and came back.
They did.
And for me, I'm just, you know, I really wanted to talk about this record just because I feel like Spoon has been so consistently great for 25 years that rock critics don't really know what to write about them anymore, because it's just sort of like, yeah, Spoon released another good album, and you should go and get this one like we told you to do with the last eight. And at a certain point, you know, for me, it was like, God, I just feel like people, you know, need to still get excited about this band.
Right.
So I wanted to come chat with you guys about it and hear what you guys had to think about this.
Yeah, band. I think that's right, too. You know, I've been reading stuff, and it's like consistently excellent.
Yeah.
Another fine addition to the canon, right? Yeah. Just they made another great record. Yeah. It's all they do.
It is all they do. And and it's funny to me that there are these bands now that kind of fall into these lulls of just sort of putting out good music. I think Wilco's another one that's like this, where, you know, they just keep putting out pretty good records. And I don't know. For Spoon, I think, you know, the last two were okay. And then this one, I think, is just a return to form. I'm just really excited about it. So,
why don't we hear the title track of Hot Thoughts? We'll be right back. you hear the Prince in that, Jim?
There's yeah, a little
Prince
bit.
In that.
Sure.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, they always sort of traded on sort of a certain aspect of funk, right?
Yeah,
in
I think so.
Indie rock,
kind of, not a lot of reverb on the guitar, and sort of played in kind of a funk style. You know, maybe even a Stax style a little bit with the clipped reverb to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Nate? It's a great song. I love that song.
It is, yeah. I mean, I get a little T-Rex vibe in it as well.
Totally.
And that is,
claps.
Yeah, that is something that, you know, hearing this, it's hard to sort of pin down a Spoon sound, because I think they have had a few kind of different, you know, renaissances or versions of themselves.
That's right.
But this is sort of kind of a classic Spoon song, in that it's got that funk beat, it's a little poppy, it has those sinister guitars kind of in the background, just sort of looming behind everything, and I don't know, I just think they, you know, I don't want to say that they can just do this, because they can just do this, but you know, it is something that they've sort of mastered over the years, and I love every time they do it. I love it. So
yeah, and it's interesting that you said that, because I think sinister, sometimes you're not really sure where Hot Thoughts might go. You know what I mean? Like, that's the title. Maybe it's a little, you know, funky. Maybe it's a little naughty, but then you're not really sure. And they kind of hold that tension through the whole thing, which is really nice.
Yeah. And man, I don't know. I feel like if this was a different generation, Britt Daniel could have become like Mick Jagger, and just he's sort of got that kind of strut rock thing that they, you know.
Totally.
And you know, Jim was talking about how they do have those funk elements, but that, you know, they discovered that not only in like the fourth or fifth album.
Yeah.
They sort of stumbled upon this with this song, I Turn My Camera On, which, you know, they incorporated in the sound, but they did this kind of very minimalist kind of funk song. And then they just sort of discarded it and then kind of went back to doing rock for a while. And I just, one of the reasons I love this band so much is sort of the confidence they have to record a song that many other bands would milk for all it's worth.
Yeah.
And Britt Daniel's like, all right, that was cool. And
ran
another I'll come back in a few albums and come back to that. Whereas, you know, Gaga Gaga Gaga, the record after that was kind of a pop rock album almost. And then, you know, they kind of came back, and now they had a couple spare albums that were a little more minimalist, and now they're kind of coming back to this more full sound. I don't know. Everything they do, I think, is interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. How about this? Why don't we listen to I Turn My Camera On? We'll take a break. And then when we come back from that break, I'm going to tell you about the time I met Britt Daniel.
Ooh, I like this.
That?
All right.
Good.
That sounds like fun. I turned my camera on. I cut my fingers on the way. On the way. The way I'm slipping away, I turned my feelings on. You made me untouchable for life. Yeah, yeah. And you wasn't lying. It hit me like a ton. You hit me like a ton. I turn my feelings on the side. Yeah, yeah. And look, I'm gonna ignite. I saw them stars go off. I saw them stars go off at night.
Hey, Jim, what are you doing?
You know, I'm just surfing the web, and
cool.
I happened upon this website called Rockin' the Suburbs. It's at suburbspod.com.
Ah, that's a great website. What a good URL.
It has little recaps of this really cool show.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out. And then there's also this one great part where you click on it, and you get Rickrolled.
Sounds like a fun destination for all.
It's really fun. You go there. You just type in then the little bar up at the top,
mm-hmm.
suburbspod.com. That's it.
And it takes you there.
It's free.
Okay. So you use your dial-up. First you dial into the internet.
Yep.
Get that going. And
you
go to suburbspod.com.
Yep. And you will never leave.
So So before the break, Jim.
Yeah.
That was, I turned my camera on by yeah. Spoon. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I know that song. Okay. That actually was, I think that was the first Spoon song I ever heard because I remember getting it as like a iTunes free download of the week.
Oh, really?
Like okay. That. You know, it was like one of
those martini samplers like, you sent away for?
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't that.
Okay.
So I think that was the first time I heard them was with that song. That was from 2005, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And that's such an interesting introduction to Spoon. Because yeah. I remember for me, who had been following the band since 96,
yep.
when that song came, it was like someone had hit me with a train because it was like, what is, you know, they're doing a Prince song.
Right.
This was a band that sounded like the Pixies 10 years earlier. Right. And now they're doing a Prince song and it sounds pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But to just be introduced to it, it's like, oh, these guys are doing a Prince song.
It's a different way in, yeah.
Well, so aren't we going to go back to some of the earlier stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
we are going to go back. And
the earliest one I had, because then I got that album, Gimme Fiction, and mm-hmm. then I did go back and get Kill the Moonlight,
yep.
which was the one before that.
Right. Fine record.
But I don't have anything
on the Merge label
before then. So okay. You guys are going to educate me here.
Yeah. Right? So, glad, Nate, you said 96 because Telefono, I think, is an outstanding record.
Yep.
Just unbelievable on the Matador label. And so kind of interesting with Spoon, they put out a record on Matador, you know, kind of a cool indie rock band from Austin, Texas. Then they get picked up by a major label,
yep.
right? And they put out a record called Series of Sneaks. And that's a great record, in my opinion,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
30 absolutely. Gallon Tank is a killer, stone killer song.
Yep.
Car Radio, can't beat it. And so they had a period after that, right, where the major label didn't work out. And Britt Daniel basically said, I'm kind of done with this rock and roll thing. You know, I'm going to put a suit on and go work somewhere else.
Yep.
And then, as Nate said, came back and made this whole other series of records.
Which were three. I mean, I don't know. I think the three records, Kill the Moonlight, Gimme Fiction, and Ga-Ga-Ga-Ga-Ga are
right.
three perfect records.
Yep.
And I don't know. That was, for me, that was the last time they sort of, I mean, when they released a Series of Sneaks, you thought, okay, well, these guys are going to be Radiohead or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're going to be a big band, and then it just Elektra Records, just for whatever reason, decided
right.
they weren't any good.
Right.
And that was that. But I'm interested in your Britt Daniel story.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, I will say, too, Elektra's a great label, and
yep.
it has always championed sort of, you know, outsider artists, so it's weird that, you know, that happened, but... So, and the Bish will back this story up that I'm about to tell, the
right.
Bish. We saw Spoon at a now long defunct DC venue called Metro Cafe that was right on 14th Street, about three blocks up from where the Black Cat is now, and just a bad venue, you know, and it was never going to last. But, you know, during their brief time there, I actually saw Death Cab for Cutie and Spoon, and the capacity was about 150 people, so it was a really tiny place.
Wow.
And we saw them on the Series of Sneaks tour, so this shows you how popular their first album was and what kind of publicity was done.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 100 people there, maybe, right? And so, and the first thing that blew me away was that Britt Daniel was playing an acoustic guitar. So that crazy sound, that loud rock and roll sound that he got on those first two records was an acoustic guitar with just a bunch of pedals plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, we waited around after the show just to talk to him and ask him, I didn't know you played acoustic guitar and you know, really? You're really from Austin? You don't sound like, you're, you know, just to talk to the guy, right? And had bought an extra beer for him and it was a Budweiser in a can and we tried to get him to drink it and, you know, we just continued to talk to him and every time we said something, we sort of put it in front of him.
Yeah.
And he never drank it. And good for him because we put LSD in the beer. No. But yeah, early on, just something about that guitar sound and the clean drums, you know, and just the tight construction of those songs. And, you know, it, you know, I don't want to sound like a rock critic, but it's almost like each album they put out, they just fine-tune it a little
bit.
They
fine-tune it. Yeah. Can I hate being a one-upper, but can I come over the top on your Spoon story? Just because I have one of the strangest Spoon stories ever.
Love
so
to
I
hear
was,
this.
I was a student at Tulane. This is right after Hurricane Katrina. So this is back in 06.
Okay.
So I guess Kill the Moonlight had just come out.
That's right.
And Spoon was down. They played at House of Blues, and I think they played Jazz Fest. And I was dating a girl in a sorority at Tulane, and she invited me to her sorority formal.
Okay.
And I'm at this sorority formal in this terrible, horrible place in New Orleans, you know, with just, you know, big, huge beers and
right.
And Spoon's there. And
no way.
And I'm there. I'm in kind of like a ill-fitting suit and tie because it's a formal. And I see them, and I'd just seen them the previous night at House of Blues, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And I walk over and I said, hi, you guys are Spoon. It was everyone but Britt.
Right.
And I said, what are you doing here? Yeah. And one of the guys just said, Britt met a girl last night. Told us that we should come to this great party. And we are here at the Pi-Fi Tulane formal.
That's beautiful.
And we don't know what we're doing here. And I said, oh, can I buy you guys a whiskey? And they said, there's nothing more we would like than for you to buy us a whiskey right now. And so I ended up doing a shot of whiskey with these poor, uncomfortable guys around these 20-year-old kids and who quickly left thereafter. Right.
They actually accepted the alcohol you offered them, whereas me, they didn't.
That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah. And Britt actually ended up dating that girl for about 2 or 3 years.
Did he? Wow. Really? Yep. Did he ever show up at the formal that night?
They were around. Oh, they were, right? They were in a, I think, in a dark corner together. Yeah. But.
That's beautiful.
All right.
So why don't we hear this as we go out, right?
Okay. Remember? Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So before we do that, we have to tell some people some things.
Yes.
What do we have to tell them?
The first thing we have to tell them is that we think Nate Scott's going to hang around for the rest of the
Let's
week.
Let's hope despite, so. After this, maybe not.
I want to come talk about Spoon, and then I'm just going to, you know. Right.
Drink tea and frown at everybody.
Yes, that's right. So sorry about that. The other thing we want to say is you should listen to this show. I forget. How often?
Every day.
The show is called Rock in the Suburbs. Yeah. You can find it on iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher or TuneIn. And you should go to our website.
Yeah, too. It's a good website.
Suburbspod.com.
We have content. Smells like content over there.
Suburbspod.com. Check that out because one thing I think we forget to tell people is you can listen to the show there if you want, but also it has all the past episodes, you know, with little notes on it and everything. So if you're like new to the show and you want to go back and explore it, I think that's a good way to go about it as opposed to just going back through your podcast feed because you really get a better sense of the show.
It's like the Wikipedia of Rock in the Suburbs.
Yes. And then maybe there'll be a picture of Nate so you can see how dreamy he is.
I'm going to start writing for you guys too. So.
All right. Oh,
well, whether or not you want me to.
That's on the record.
This is very exciting. Now this is something. Yeah. This is a good development. Okay. You can also email us, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can contact us through the social medias of Facebook and Twitter @suburbspod. Did I cover everything?
I think you got everything.
All right,
so,
hit me with some rock and roll.
Thank you, man. I'm going to play a song called All the Negatives Have Been Destroyed. And this is from Telefono. It's going to take us out. Nate, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow, right?
All right.
All right. We got to bleep those motherfuckers out at the end. Forgot about those.